It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here at 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network, Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, staring at me in the face here. Hey, buddy.
Wow.
Look at us in the same studio.
Wow, wow, wow.
You look good. Smell good.
Hey, you look good, smell good, play good.
Listen, smelling good was not always something that was your strong suit when you were an NFL player. So, you know, I mean, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't your strong suit. It wasn't your short suit. It wasn't your weak suit.
It wasn't your suit. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It wasn't your swimsuit.
So, Scott, thanks for all the dad jokes this early in the show. Didn't take that long, did it?
No.
Like a Tuesday edition of the program. We're glad to have you here. Thanks for having some patience with us as we took yesterday off. That's a wild thing. You'll be able to get a day off every once in a while. It's fun for us to be able to take
I love days off.
Did the skiing thing with the family. I think they're up again doing it because the kids are off to school again. So, just ski bunnies. That's what they all are. They are, not me.
Yeah.
I'm out there, but I'm not doing any good.
A ski bunny would not be a word I would use to describe you.
I think that people see me coming down the mountain, and there's a lot of, whoa. Like, skis pretty well for a big guy. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off the show, as we always do. First things first, we get to the thing that got our attention the most this weekend, and of course it was the NFL playoffs. This is why we have Scott in our back pocket, because being able to talk about the NFL playoffs is a big deal. That's what we're going to start the show with, the cut. Let's do it, baby.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Well, because Hanson Scotty's producer, Lloyd Cole, is sitting in the other studio, I won't bring up too much of the Raiders' misdeeds over the weekend. Hey, listen, I'll read between those lines all day. No problem. But here's the deal.
Is Lloyd a Raiders fan?
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, okay. He took his boy to the game that clinched the playoff spot for him down in Vegas. I mean, it was a whole thing, and I was excited for
you
him.
You know, of all the teams in the NFL,
yes,
that you could be a fan of, I think the Raiders would be the funnest team.
Especially
now that they're in Las Vegas.
Especially now.
Yeah.
So when they go there to Cincinnati, I think that the odds were pretty low they were going to get a W. But
it's Cincinnati. It's haven't Cincinnati, won a playoff game in 31
right.
years.
And they did something, yes, they hadn't seen in a while. And that was getting a win in a playoff game.
I knew the Raiders were going to lose, though. I could have told you. I told you
Scott
that.
Did tell us that. Yes, yeah. Like, I think that we all sort of hoped. I hoped that the Raiders were going to get the win, too.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Well, I'm going to help Lloyd out here a little bit so he can maybe, I don't know if it'll make him feel better
notes,
or worse.
Yeah. He's feverishly taking notes over here.
It's kind of a reality.
Which is?
Like, the NFL is a quarterback league. That's what it is. Okay.
Derek Carr's a fine quarterback.
And fine is a great adjective to describe Derek Carr. He is. I mean, got him to the playoffs, right?
He's fine.
And I think there's a ceiling to certain guys. I just do. I think Dak Prescott has a ceiling. But Joe Burrow, I don't know where his ceiling is. Joe Burrow could be a guy that plays like as long as like Drew Brees. I mean, because he's so good mechanically. He's a guy that's just super competitive.
Does he have the good mechanics? Oh, like when you watch him, you go, that guy's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and you saw him in college where he kept playing big game after big game after big game, and he just kept coming up big time in those big games. And so for him to get to be in the playoffs, and he's got talent around him. I mean, yeah, Cincinnati maybe not this year, but in the years to come, could be a team that is going to cause some damage in the playoffs.
Well, so that was one game. That was when you called.
Yeah.
And on Friday before we got out, and we were kind of going, hey, this is an awesome wild card weekend going into a Saturday, Sunday, Monday set up with games. And I was massively disappointed by the NFL this weekend.
No. You cannot have it both ways.
Scott, of course you can. What do you mean?
That is a
spoiled. There's only one way.
That's an entitled attitude.
Well, excuse me for assuming that because the NFL playoff games are typically your closest games of the year in the NFL, your best games of the year in the NFL, those are the ones that you look forward to. And yes, we had 3 days of it. We got a Super Saturday and a Super Sunday and I don't know what to call yesterday.
Clunker Monday.
It was not good.
The best part of Monday is the Manning brothers.
It really ended up being better
than the games.
Because when you see the blowouts that happen, the Bucks blow out the Eagles, the Bills blew Bill Belichick out of the water there. The Chiefs get a massive win. And then last night the Rams just hung it up on the Cardinals, who I thought for sure the Cardinals – I mean, talk about a team that was not ready for the big stage. Talk about a guy who needed to get that monkey off his back with not losing – or not winning in the playoffs ever, Matthew Stafford. This is something you saw. You saw it before it even – when we were talking about this, when the move was made last offseason, that he'd be coming into the L.A. Rams – And Jared Goff would be heading there. You went. This Rams team just made a massive move, and they're gonna. This is the guy who's gonna win playoff.
Made a couple
games
of
for
massive
him.
Moves.
Yes, and then when they end up getting Von Miller
before the trade deadline, had a
sack in the first half, and
OBJ was great this game.
But here's the thing about Von Miller. Now, here's where the addition of Von Miller, if you're a Rams fan, is really exciting. Is because that guy's already won an MVP in the Super Bowl. So when all these guys are in the locker room going, man, what's it like getting this far? What's it going to feel like? Von Miller is like, I've been to the top of the mountain. I've gotten the biggest award on the top of that mountain that you can get in that game. And so getting veterans in the locker room like that while already having a super talented team. So many things to jump in on. But let's not forget to take some time to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys, who at 12-5 – and hosting a playoff game again, you thought to yourself, this is the time. Hey, Dak, you're going to do it this time, buddy. Prescott, you're going to do it this time.
Did you see the thing on social media?
The thing on social media? Well, yeah, did
I'll,
I see
I'll
it?
Explain it to you. About the Cowboys, right?
What was it?
So it had like a pentagon, you know, so it showed you what an octagon
right,
was.
Sure.
And then like a hexagon.
Got it.
And then it had the Dallas Cowboys star.
Okay.
And it said season gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a big time joke delivered by social media platforms.
Anyways.
I'll be here all week. But anyway, I'll be here all week.
It was good.
Listen, Mike McCarthy. Now, here's the thing. Everybody's hung up on how the game ended. But the reality is Dallas played a garbage game. They were not. It didn't. They got bailed out by a bad Jimmy G pick that he threw there in the second half. That being said, the Cowboys get down in this last portion of the game, and they could have driven down. It was like the 49ers were kind of going to give this thing away. 49ers fans were freaking out. Mike McCarthy, after the ref comes in, the controversy after that scramble that Dak Prescott had to get down there, they're about to snap the ball, and the referee comes in and goes, excuse me, I'm the one who actually sets the ball, not the center. He's not the official ball marker of the game. The center doesn't decide where the ball goes. The umpire sets the ball and goes, now we're ready, now let's go. But by then, the time had run out. Mike McCarthy felt like everything that they had been ripped off, and here's what he had to say. Here's what he had to say after the game.
They were in the sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines, and so that was the best option. It's like anything else. Do you want to be running the Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. You know, it's just like anything. It's the execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. If that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing is,
okay,
like, you can't you. It's an arbitrary thing about how and when the ball gets set. And
when it's a great example.
It's a great example of how you don't mess around. You don't want to put your fate in something that's not a guarantee. When you throw the ball out of bounds, you know it's a guarantee the clock stops. When you get out of bounds, because all they have to do, look, there you just run the risk if you're going to run quarterback draw. And we used to time this stuff out. How many seconds could you get off the field and actually kick a field goal or how many plays could you actually run in this setting? Like how much time would actually run off the clock? And I'm going to tell you right now, running the ball or quarterback draw in that situation, the 14 seconds is a scary proposition.
Well, there's a reason it was wide open. It's because they go, if they run the draw, they're going to not have time to run this play, man.
And everyone should know that. So I seriously question what Mike McCarthy said there. I question the play call. Throw something toward the sideline. And everyone goes, well, they've defended the sideline. They can't defend everywhere. There's certain plays that you get. Now, you may only get 5 yards. You may not get the ball down the field, but you may get it down the field. I mean, you remember Minnesota and New Orleans a couple of years ago, and that play should have been, stopped, and it wasn't, and they scored a touchdown. And it's like you want at least one attempt. You know, he's like, well, I'd rather have five verticals from the 25 than a Hail Mary. Well, I'd at least want a Hail Mary. I'd at least like one shot at the end zone. And you run that play, and you run the risk.
I love how he says that.
I just think it's a real risky play to assume
for sure
that you're going to get the ball snapped. And the official did the right thing, by the way. You know, Dak Prescott
spotted the ball exactly where he was supposed to be. Yeah, that's his job.
When you are in a 2-minute situation, you do not set the ball down. You do not throw it away. You do not celebrate. You run it to the middle of the field, and guess what you do with it? You give the ball to the official.
You find that official.
Find the official and get him the ball. And when the Cowboys did all this stuff, they really precluded the official from actually getting in there and doing it. All this is a great lesson of this is how you run a 2-minute drill, and you don't do it like that.
See, I love that perspective because even you as the quarterback, I mean, you always you've trained me to think like what is coming out of these guys' mouths after the game. The majority of the time, it's them just doing a bunch of CYA, right? And Mike McCarthy going, I mean, the reason we lost this game, I called it, listen, we could have won this game, man, if the referees wouldn't have screwed us over. Yeah. So you do that stuff to kind of do the damage control. Because what's the discussion right now happening in Dallas? Today, all of their sports radio stations, and I've lived down there, and it's a lot of these guys, a lot of these talking heads going after Dallas right now, and they should be. And today, Stephen Jones, the vice president of the team, comes out and says, oh, yeah, no, Mike McCarthy, this is him, man. He's with us. He's with us. And yeah, he's not going anywhere. And then Jerry Jones goes, "I'm no comment," because he's the one who actually is going to make that decision. Oh. But today, everybody's talking about if Mike McCarthy should be keeping his job. So if you're Mike McCarthy after the game, you just go, we made that play. The referee screwed us over. Not that we didn't call a good play. Not that we didn't make a decent play on this
one.
So
when you get in that situation, and it's easy after the fact. Like, it's easy after the fact to go, what were you thinking? Like, that was a – I mean, I know we've had a discussion, like Marshawn Lynch. Why did you not run Marshawn Lynch when you're on the goal line, when you're Seattle and they throw the ball?
But it's
that point is when you get in those pressure situations and you either have drilled it enough and repped it enough where you just – it's just automatic. You understand. You know what you need to do. And if you don't, then you call a play or you – I don't want to say you crack under pressure, but the pressure kind of gets to your ability to make a good decision. I'm just telling you, everything I know about 2-minute drills, and I, we do the 2-minute drill every night on our show.
Yeah, but you've run actual ones in actual games.
It's time. Time is your enemy. Nothing else matters. It's not how many downs you have. It's not what plays you call.
It's fun in college ball.
But it's what my point is everyone knows this, Alex. Like I'm not like. some like guru here that's figured this out.
Did you look at this? Did you look at the crowd
Everyone
in Dallas?
Everyone knows it's time.
When it shows like the season ticket holders who have their arms folded and they're rolling their eyes like that was your last play, they're not rolling their eyes because they felt like they got hosed by the ref. They're rolling their eyes because they know that that was a garbage call. And so they with like 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, there was a girl in the crowd bawling her eyes out. And I thought, fandom sucks. You know, being a fan, they showed a guy, he's crying too. And you go, being a fan sucks. But what sucks worse is when your team's pretty talented and your coaching staff is not smart enough to operate within those parameters. Think about the roster they have. One of the best O-lines in the whole league, and they gave up tons of pressure that day. Dak Prescott was under pressure all day.
I hate hearing about
how great the
Dallas Cowboys are, because they're not great.
Well, but what I'm saying is they have a pretty good roster. They have a lot of talent on that roster.
What does that mean, though? Really? I mean, it only means something is if you do, you know who's got a lot of talent? Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Let me rephrase it.
You know who has a lot of talent? Kansas City Chiefs.
Because those are the ones moving on, right?
You know who's really talented?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I can't even say the whole roster is talented. but they have these exceptional
players.
Yes, that do. So until the Cowboys do something. And you know how we talked about Derek Carr? I'm into what's his name, you know, that thing.
you might as well call him what's his name.
Well, it's a what's his name.
You're not gonna get Scott forgetting your name when you're winning a bunch
of
playoff games.
There's a certain number of guys in the NFL, quarterbacks, that kind of hit a level, and Derek Carr is one of those guys, and I think Dak Prescott's another one. I think it was why the Cowboys were so reluctant.
But Matthew Stafford was that guy until he got to L.A.
No, Matthew Stafford's not. Matthew Stafford is unbelievably talented. He's really been in a bad situation. I can't say that. Look, Derek Carr and Dak Prescott, they don't have the same talent abilities that Matthew Stafford has. He's a different level. Way different level.
And you said Dak Prescott has a ceiling. Do you think he's almost there? That he's almost kind of hit it.
I really like Dak Prescott too. I'm not against what he's
done. He does exceptional things. I mean, he's almost always at the top of the charts when it comes to QBR and yards per game and touchdown passes. He's really efficient, and he will beat you on the ground too. And then there are games like this where obviously the glaringly obvious. When they're the number one seed and they get that bye and then Aaron Rodgers comes in and Aaron Rodgers comes into their place and beats them, and then you have the game like last night, the game like yesterday, where this 49ers team, who's kind of they were out of gas. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's no world beater here, and so when you have this 49ers team beating you at home, and you go, well, then what are we? Maybe that offensive line isn't amazing. Maybe Micah Parsons, who had a bad game, maybe the moment was too big for them. They weren't ready for that game. So how many lessons do you have to learn if you're the Cowboys?
Well,
or how many lessons do you have to learn if you're a franchise before you say something has to give before we actually have to make the decisions that are going to make it to where we can win in the playoffs?
All right. I saw this thing on Shaquille O'Neal. And they were asking him, like, is this the truth or is this a story? And they said, so the question was, did you rip five urinals off of the stalls in a bathroom?
Okay.
Was that true or false? And Shaq goes, it was true. And he goes, when I first got to Los Angeles and I was with Kobe, we got beat in the playoffs. And I was so mad and I was so frustrated that I was in the dressing room ripping the urinals off of the walls. And Jerry West came in and said, you know what?
We kind of can't do that here.
He said, it took me 9 times before I won a championship. So we're going to be just fine. Put the urinals back.
I'm going to need you to bring your caulking gun to the facility tomorrow.
But the point is it's hard. And it's really hard. And the playoffs, it does funny things to people.
These urinals off the wall.
I mean, but with Kyler Murray. Like Kyler Murray could be a really, really good player in this league.
Boy, talk about a fizzle.
Right, but you just have to learn how to win. And it's a fine line. It's a fine line having the right team and having an owner that has an understanding of this and having the patience to do it. Because And unless you're Tom Brady, you just don't win all the time. You just don't. And as good as Patrick Mahomes is, he's won one Super Bowl. He lost in a championship game. He lost another Super Bowl. You know, and so he's it's not like he wins all the time. And the other people are good, and they're you know, and all the pieces have to fit right in order for you to have success. And people need to have the maturity to recognize that. Now you go like. You start asking yourself questions. You know, is Derek Carr – how much patience do we have to have? Dak Prescott, how much – Mike McCarthy, how much – you know, how much patience do we have with this guy before we let him go? And that's a tough decision to answer because usually what these owners do is they make a decision at the worst possible time, right after they've lost in the playoffs because they're really ticked off. And so you a lot of times will make something out of haste or emotion – and it's not the best decision, the best direction for a team. I can tell you, Alex, when I was in Detroit, when you talk about talent, we had talent. And we really needed more time with that talent to stay together. And the team, they wanted a new coach, they wanted a new direction, and it just you just didn't have enough time.
All right, before we get to our first break today, what is the team now? As we've kind of hit reset with the NFL playoffs being kind of what they are, I think every team that you picked to win ended up winning yesterday. There weren't really any shocks, right?
Did not shock me.
So when now that you look at it, do you want to change up what you have what you're seeing for the rest of the playoffs? When you see these divisional rounds, Bengals, Titans, 49ers, Packers, Rams, Buccaneers, Bills, Chiefs. One, I look at that and I go, these are awesome matchups. It's actually great to see the Bengals in the playoffs, like relatively deep again, or at least getting a win in the playoffs again. But I see that Bucks-Rams game, and I go, man, that's exciting. Packers-49ers, we've seen those guys play each other a million times in this exact scenario. Bills-Chiefs, that might be the most exciting game that you have on the docket. So which team now, have you reset your possibilities?
If you're in the AFC and you have the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals – and the Titans, like you're hating life. Like like this is middle America.
That's why they're actually odds makers have put them the longest
It's just middle America, that, you know, all the way. But I've always liked the Bills and I've always liked the Chiefs and the Bills did not disappoint. And Josh Allen's another example of a guy that just stepped his game up year after year after year. Don't know where the ceiling is with him. The beginning of the year, I picked the Rams, and I'm going to stay with the Rams.
All right,
You're still there.
Look, and I also
like the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs.
So
you
think the Rams will beat Tom Brady this weekend?
Yeah,
that's a tough one to call.
It's hard
down there at Tampa Bay.
I know. But when you're old like Tom Brady, and it's an old team.
Old like Tom Brady doesn't mean anything anymore. The guy threw 43 touchdowns.
I know,
this year.
But normally he gets that first week off. And when he's got to play 3 weeks, it means a lot more when you're 49 years old and playing. It just does.
Look, rub yourself down a little bit of that Ben Gay, and
it's
then
not a little bit.
He's got
to rub himself down a lot of bit. he'll be rubbing down until Thursday.
Is Ben Gay still a product? It's got to be, right? Now Shaq with the icy hot is the thing that everybody's trying to get.
What is it?
Either way, none of it. You always. You,
I think it's like deer urine or something is what they.
I don't think that Tom Brady has his own special stuff.
Don't dump that.
That guy. That was Ray Lewis.
Well, look at Ray Lewis. Look what he did.
You thought Jeremy was going to dump deer urine.
I know.
Urine. He was just going to tell you who it was that used it.
Well, it's not all that Ray Lewis used.
That's the guy who used to be his teammate. Oh, my heavens.
Speaking of that, I know we'll talk about it.
We'll talk. We've got way more to talk about on an NFL breakdown on a Tuesday.
I saw a movie over the break. I wished I had known.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about it.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Appreciate you being with the program. Got a couple things going on here. NFL Roundup always brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. Hey, I've also got to give away something for you because DJ and PK gave away or gave out their Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week this morning on DJ and PK. If you remember what that play was, Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week on DJ and PK, be caller number 12 right now. We got a pair of tickets to give to you, or at least maybe even more than a pair of tickets. I don't know what it is. Be caller number 12 now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. Tell us the play and be our winner. And with an impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs, it's no wonder that people are switching to Chevy. Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. 855-340-ZONE if you know what the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week was. Scott Mitchell across from me here. NFL Roundup. It's a special one anytime we get into the NFL playoffs here because we have NFL games. The best of the best are supposed to be playing. And, well, there's some games this weekend. There were some times where I'm watching these games. The Buccaneers game at one point was a four-touchdown game. The game last night with the Cardinals and Rams was also a four-touchdown game at one point. So you don't want to see that in the playoffs. But at the same time, I mean, you got guys like J.J. Watt who've been really, really good their entire career, who came out today and said that this season was a, quote, massive failure after getting in and losing to the Rams in the fashion that they did. The Cardinals were one of those teams that everybody assumed were going to go really deep, but they ended up losing five out of their last eight games, and that's a recipe for disaster when you are trying to, one, get home field advantage, and then, two, you just go – if you're already going into the playoffs losing, it's not a good sign.
I mean, it's, I guess, an easy statement to say for J.J. I mean, he didn't play most of the year.
Right.
Maybe a lot of his disappointment.
Maybe the failure was that he was out most of the year.
When you're a really talented team and for whatever reason you underperform and you just don't get it done, because I think a lot of people felt like Arizona was going to be a tough team to beat. And, sometimes just finding that right chemistry and finding that right blend has to happen at the right time of the year. You look at the Rams and they were kind of cruising and then they hit a bump in the road when they added OBJ and they added Von Miller and you're like, oh, maybe that kind of disrupted the chemistry of this team. But then you see these players kind of assimilate into the culture and the schemes of the Rams and they're big contributors in the playoffs. And so it's that chemistry. And sometimes teams find it and sometimes teams lose it because Arizona, for whatever reason, and a lot of times it can be you kind of think you've arrived. You know, you get a little bit complacent. You get a little bit comfortable, especially when you're a talented team. You go, hey, we'll just get off the bus and show up and win. And you just don't take care of those little tiny things that kind of get you over the hump. And it feels like maybe that's kind of what's happened with Arizona.
You know, it's tough because you have a team like Arizona who you have a tremendous year. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you go, man, we had an amazing year. And then it just ends, you know, on the first go. The Cowboys, I know Cowboy fans are the same way where they go, this season is a massive failure because we've been to this spot before. We've been in that first round of the playoffs with a pretty good record, 12-5, and we're going in here with home field advantage. And then you lose the game. Not only that, you lose it to a team that, frankly, is one of the not as good teams in the playoffs. Kind of didn't back into the playoffs, but had to win in their last week. And so there are a ton of teams right now who are going, this was a massive failure for us. And then you got the teams like, I don't know, the Raiders, I don't know if they feel like it was a massive failure because they did this, they made this run with an interim head coach. But at the same time, they've got Derek Carr, who everybody's looking at and going, hey, man, when are you going to deliver that playoff win that we've been expecting this whole time? Scott, Andy Reid, everybody's favorite Chiefs head coach, beloved around here because he was a BYU guy and periodically still shows up here locally and loves drafting like BYU guys. But, man, he's at the top of the food chain when it comes to the coaching. Speaking of food, though, if you're Andy Reid, Scott, because this is a guy who likes to make a lot of comparisons with food and coaching.
Well, we can relate to him.
If you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece of cake and you have one dangling in front of your face, this is a quote from him, you're probably going to want to eat that other piece of chocolate cake too. That's how you feel about the Super Bowl. That's that chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting, is what he says. So Andy Reid, delivering on that, because it's sure, super difficult to win that second.
What's hard? Well, no, it's what's hard is you win it and you have that moment, right? You're like, and it's amazing, and how long does it last? It lasts a day or so, and then you move on, and everyone moves on. Everyone goes, okay, it's next season, and things, the preparation for next season starts. You have a trip to Disney World, I guess, with a mask on. Who knows what that looks like these days? And you know, some teams go see the president, some teams don't, and then you have a ring ceremony, and none of that's, all that stuff's a little bit anticlimactic at this point.
You know what's funny is that how much we love these, like the Super Bowl, but there's a point during the year when it's July, and I go, who won the Super Bowl this year?
I can't remember. It's just over. So when you, but you know how exciting that moment was, and you just want that again, and that's what chocolate cake is like. You have the euphoria of all the great flavors and taste to it, and then it just goes, and you go, man, got to bring us some more chocolate cake, you know, and I get it.
Yeah, the fat guys get it, man. We will totally understand.
Well, the skinny guys get it too, because you get the same sensation from like seaweed and things like, you know.
Oh, you mean kale, just change the food up?
Kale smoothies.
I thought you were going to say, we got the chocolate cake dangling in front of your face. You say, no, thank you. And then if it's dangling again, you say, please leave. Okay? That's what the skinny guy does. But yeah, if you
kale smoothie.
Kale smoothie. Yeah. A kale smoothie dangling in front of your face. Yeah.
So you have a kale smoothie in, and you don't ever want to have one again.
Kale smoothie.
Well, you have
amazing.
A kale smoothie once, and then you have it twice.
Yeah.
you get it two times.
That's disgusting. Oh, my goodness. Scott, next up on the old NFL roundup here. Will you please explain to me, you had this conversation with a voter, with a Hall of Fame voter for the NFL, and Leroy Butler's name came up. Why did he call you about having a discussion about making a pitch? Or did he ask you to make a pitch about it? Or just like, tell me about your time playing against Leroy Butler?
So what they do is they have the finalist, and then someone who was going to present each finalist. So someone who was, you know, so like in Leroy Butler's case, it's someone from the Green Bay Packers. And they're going to go in, and they're going to give you the reason. And he goes, typically it's very positive. You know, it's not full of negatives. And then everyone who has a vote kind of, you know, people will chime in if they've had some kind of interest. And so we had this rather lengthy, it was probably a good 40-minute conversation about Leroy Butler and what he was, you know, what kind of player he was to play against.
Defensive back for the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, four, 39 interceptions in his career. He played 12 years in the league and was an all-pro. First team all pro four of those years.
And the all 90s decade team.
For the NFL.
NFL.
He's in the Ring of Honor for the Hall of Fame for the Packers. So to me, that sounds like a no brainer, but why, are they just going through formalities? Or is it some, well, I feel like it, Leroy, no, it's, Leroy it's Butler, the, you were bringing up, you brought up John Lynch versus Leroy Butler. And John Lynch, who's already in the Hall of Fame, I said, you know, I think that people look at John Lynch and they hear more about John Lynch. Leroy Butler wasn't one of those guys that you always heard about to the extent that you did John Lynch. I don't know why.
Even on that defense, because I would vote in Leroy Butler ahead of John Lynch.
The numbers would say you should too.
Yeah, I mean
he played fewer years. I mean, John Lynch played 15
Leroy
or 16
Butler
seasons. But
did everything. Leroy Butler could be in the box, and he could come up and stop the run. He was great in coverage. You know, he was a guy that they did a lot of things. They blitzed him. He was a guy that made a lot of plays, a lot like Troy Polamalu, very very similar in kind of what they let him do on that defense, because he was so versatile and he could do so much, and he was a guy you had to account for. You just knew that he was going to come from some unusual spots and he was going to get you if you didn't watch out for him. And this was a defense that had Reggie White on it, and Reggie White, you know, is considered one of the greatest defensive players of all time, and we never game planned for Reggie White. A game plan for Bruce Smith, but one-on-one, if you had the right player with Reggie White, you didn't.
You could contain him.
You could contain him, but Bruce Smith was hard to contain.
And Leroy Butler was one of those guys.
But Leroy Butler, you had to game plan for. He's a guy you had to, and so it was just, it was, to me, it was just a fascinating conversation from the standpoint of there's a thorough vetting process, a thorough analysis, a thorough Bailey kind of review of all of this stuff. And I didn't realize it's the first phone call I've ever received for something like that. And I didn't realize, you know, it's a rather thoughtful process.
Sure.
And thorough process that happens to vet out these players for the Hall of Fame.
All right, let's take.
I asked him. I said, "What about me? When am I going to get on there?"
Oh, sorry. Should I have laughed that heartily at that?
No, I was just joking.
I got you.
He's dead in 20 years. So
hey, they'll consider. They'll consider now. You've worked your tail off. Your retirement should be family, fun, and not work and worry. Go to retireteton.com/radio to get a complimentary retirement ascent plan from Teton Wealth Group. That's retireteton.com/radio, retireteton.com/radio. Taking the break here. We'll come back. 2 Minute Drills next. Stay with us. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell here in front of me. Thanks for being with us. If you miss any portion of this program, shame on you. But also, you can go back and find it wherever podcasts are found, as well as all of the shows on The Zone all day. DJ and PK in the morning, get Jake and Ben, obviously, midday, and then Hans and Scotty. And then Unrivaled, boom, just hit them all up. Just subscribe, download, and then they just show up on your phone, and you can listen to them whenever you want. That's how it works. Going to kick things off here with our Weekend Warriors. Does that have music, or do we not? I can't remember. We don't? No, just Weekend Warriors. Well, by the way, I just wanted to bring it up. We have our market update to also get through as well, brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. The Dow taking a massive hit today, down 543 points. The NASDAQ also suffering at down 386, and the S&P 500 off 85 as well. Not a good day for your markets. That market update brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. You, too, can also try your hand at being a day trader. TryDayTrading.com is the website. Scott, in the meantime, we got our Weekend Warriors. Before we get into the people that that we really liked over the weekend, was there anybody that is not on the list that may be off list for you that really stood out that you thought that was a massive performance by this person?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I like this list, and I know we're limited on our time, so I want to get through this list.
You want to stay with
well,
it?
Well,
what's the first one then?
So for me, it's Donna Kelce. because she's the mother of Travis Kelce, the tight end, of course, for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Jason Kelce, the center for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Those are two very different positions, by the way.
I know.
You put two sons in the league, very different positions.
You put one son in the league, and that's incredible. I've been the son of someone who put someone in the league, right? But I've also been the parent of kids who played sports. And I loved going to their games.
Right.
My mom was so mad at me my sophomore year of high school when it was over.
Why?
Because when I was a sophomore, I played on the sophomore JV and varsity basketball team. So I played three games a night. And then the next year, I was only going to be on the varsity. And same thing, I played sophomore football and varsity football. And so she's like, next year, I'm only going to one game.
And that bummed her out.
She's like, I want to go to more games.
That's hilarious.
But she doesn't want to watch anyone other than, than her own children.
I'm kind of going, hey, man, can we dial back the amount of games you have this weekend?
No.
Let's figure it out. I don't want to have to go to three different
Alex, I'm out of games. My kids are done. I don't get to go to any more. The only hope I have are grandchildren. And that's why I encourage my children to marry to make sure that they have athletic kids.
Just marry somebody who's tall and fast. See, like, you could have played that game.
See, I didn't do that.
You didn't play that game.
No.
You didn't do the whole, I'm
no. You got.
I'm searching for somebody who can carry this sports legacy on.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Hey, speaking of an amazing sports legacy, Eric Weddle this weekend ends up being activated by the Rams, ends up getting the start at safety. What a dream come true for a guy who probably already put together a Hall of Fame career, has a chance to kind of just going to this dream scenario, gets plugged in, and the Rams get their playoff win. Here's after the game, Sean McVay talking about Eric Weddle now being on the team again.
It's unbelievable what Eric Weddle was able to do, Jordan, and then to come in, contribute. He's one of those guys that just elevates. You know, we talk about igniters all the time. You make everybody around you better. That's what Eric Weddle is, and I think he's only going to build on this for next week.
Is that Sean McVay? Ryan Seacrest? I can't think. He sounded so much like Ryan Seacrest.
They look the same. They sound the same. Whatever the MLM that Sean McVay wants me to be a part of, I'd buy it.
You want to do it.
Yeah, he's all sure. And what it's going to do to your skin at that point is you're going to see less wrinkles in this area. That's your T-zone right here.
It's an energizer. We want the energizers.
I don't want it. Sean McVay will sell you stuff, and you'll buy it. Sean McVay has all of us in his downline. That's the thing. We are all part of Sean McVay's
downline.
Well,
now he's got Matthew Stafford. Everyone wants the dream to go back. When it's all over, to actually go back. No one. That dream never becomes a reality.
Most guys, they go, I'm in shape, I can play. They go, nah. With him, they call him and they go, are you in shape?
Yeah. Could you come back?
Could you please come back? Yeah. And he started.
Oh, and by the way, we'd like you to come back for the playoffs.
I was crossing my fingers he was going to get a pick last night.
On a really good football team.
Yes.
Better than Jeremiah.
Another weekend warrior, Rudy Gobert, first game back. Amazing with that double-double against the Nuggets. That first game back, we were all singing his praises. Here's what it sounded like.
Rudy rolls. Rudy catches. Rudy fouled. Rudy scores! Rudy, welcome back. 6 of 6 from the field. 14 points, 14 rebounds, and an 8-0 run with Jokic off the floor.
Ends up with 19 rebounds that night. The Jazz get a double-digit win over the Nuggets. And then they end up flopping against the Lakers last night. But still, Rudy being back is a massive deal. Him being a part of this team again, Scott, it's unbelievable when he's on the team what he can do on the floor.
Well, yeah, it is. And clearly, he's a massive key to what happens for the Utah Jazz. I mean, that's evident by what happened when he was out. And to come back and to play, you know, well right out of the gate is a good sign. It's what you want to see. The thing I love about Rudy. Rudy just calls it as he sees it. Like, he doesn't hold back. And this is a guy that's really serious about winning and winning championships. And you know, he shows up every night.
Berg. Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
What is going on here? What do we have here?
There's a little bit of a buildup.
Is this the band of the day? Is that what you got going on? Oh, wait a minute.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
What is it? Is the band of the day Rodgers and Hammerstein? Is that what's going on? Is that who did this? I look at Jeremy for, oh my goodness. Sound of Music. Yes, the hills are alive with the sound of music, but also we found out this weekend, if you're wondering why this music is playing. This was Rudy during his time before he got back from COVID. My
heart wants to beat like, you know, I know how hard it is to, when you lose that game shape, to come back. So I really try to push myself to, you know, I went in the mountain a few times and got a little running in the altitude to try to keep my cardio in.
Oh, I think it was much more than that.
You want something depressing right now?
No, after this music?
No, it's
apropos.
I do not blame Rudy for going up in the mountain and running.
No, absolutely not.
You go up into the mountain and look down into the valley?
Oh, my heavens.
And
we did this skiing over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
We did this. We were up at Snow Basin, and you come out, you go to the backside of the mountain there, and you look down, you went, oh, wow, the clouds are low. And they go, that ain't no clouds, buddy.
We are drinking soup, man. We are drinking soup.
Somebody had the best tweet over the weekend. They go, you know the COVID numbers are bad in the state of Utah when the inversion comes over and drops cookies off and asks if you're doing okay. That's where we're at right now. We've got a lot of things going on in our lives.
Hey,
Rudy, though, getting up into the mountains, feeling good about himself, hitting the cardio.
They went up to the mountain sometimes.
And got a little attitude.
I know where Rudy lives. Training. He already lives in the mountains.
Yeah, good for Rudy.
I'm just saying, like, so he's saying he's going up and he's running it down. Like, he's I can just picture him up there probably with Julie Andrews on the soundtrack while he's running. And just, you know.
You think he's, like, pirouetting through the – and kind of dancing through the –
Listen, you know how these high-level athletes are.
With snowshoes on.
Well, you know how these high-athlete
– open meadow and
snowshoes. Yes, these athletes, a lot of times they'll hit them with – when I was in high school, my coach really pushed us to go do ballet lessons for the offensive line.
Yeah.
Half to make fun of us and the other half because it was like, hey, there's something to be said about being light on your toes, fellas.
Well,
figure it out.
Yeah, in my era, it was Lynn Swann did ballet.
Yes.
And look how graceful he is. We all need to do ballet.
That was so it wasn't
Lynn,
that.
Lynn Swann was everyone's motivation back in the day.
Well, and your last name's Swann. You better act accordingly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So here's what we got. Rudy Gobert coming back against Denver. The Jazz get a massive win. Everything's exciting. Let's kick off the hours we always do, though, with the cut. Let's just jump right in here.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
When you guys said you were cooking up some music, I did not expect
The Hills being alive.
No. Listen, you know, between us.
I like the sound of music.
You know, between us, I'm the musical guy.
Yeah, it's a great. You are.
I love the musicals, man.
Yeah.
I went and saw Hamilton before COVID shut it down last week.
So I went out socially.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, went to the movie with my son, Zach.
That's right.
Yeah. Saw American Hero, Kurt Warner's story.
Oh, you did?
And I vowed I didn't want to see it.
I'm surprised you actually went and just... Of all the choices that you're going to get me out to the theater for, American Hero, is that what it's called?
I think so.
That's going to be third on my list probably.
Well,
not because going to the movies now is an event. You know, you got to save up for a few weeks. You got to kind of figure out how you're going to get out there. And I would go see when I was in LA for the Rose Bowl that Sunday after. I'm waiting for my flight. I had a late flight to get out. I went and saw Spider-Man. Which is not like me, but I went and saw it, and I loved it.
Was Spider-Man Mitchell in Spider-Man?
No, he was not.
Okay.
No. So I loved it, man.
But what was kind of interesting is my son, who wasn't born when this happened. So Kurt Warner's first game in the NFL played against me.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
So did they have a guy who was dressed up like you in the movie?
No, they didn't ever show any Baltimore Ravens offensive highlights. They showed Ray Lewis and showed how Kurt Warner beat Ray Lewis and all that stuff. That was
– Yes, okay. Yeah.
But my name got mentioned in the movie.
It did?
And my son looked at me like, that was you?
So they go, and we're not going to worry about number 19, Scott Mitchell, because he's at the end of his career, man.
So it was hard to watch. They didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said it was Scott Mitchell.
Well, they referenced my name in the movie, but that was kind of it. That was all there was.
What do you mean it was hard to watch? Because you saw a guy.
Well, what's hard to watch? Here's what's hard to watch, okay? Is everyone has the dream. So, you know, Kurt Warner and his dream of being in the NFL. What was funny is he's bagging groceries, and it, like, his hero was Dan Marino.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, well, Dan Marino was my teammate, you know? I mean, and so, but I get it. I get that, you know, everyone had this dream, and his route to the NFL was, you know, it took quite a path. But everyone's route takes a path to anything you have success with. And it's just what level of success. And so it's an amazing story. It really is. It's an amazing story.
There were
parts of it that were really touching to me.
Did you cry?
Got emotional, yeah.
But then you're a crier in the first place.
Right. I I'm like Dick Vermeil. I get emotional. I do. I don't apologize for it.
No.
But what was fun is after the movie was over, I sat there for probably 10 minutes with my son and just talked about it. You know, talked about kind of that time in my life and what was going on and my experience in the NFL and kind of what was hard for me watching that movie, but what was also kind of cool about it. And what's hard is the dude won the Super Bowl. I mean, and he got in just such a great place.
I was 18 years old when that whole thing.
In a perfect place for him at that time.
I was 18 years old when that thing was playing out. I guess 19 when they were in the Super Bowl. In that Super Bowl, and the Titans were a quarter of a yard short, you know, of getting that thing in the end zone and winning that thing. And Dick Vermeil, yeah. I mean, the storyline with that Rams team, best show on turf, you know, greatest show on turf. I mean, I remember watching it all year and going, the St. Louis Rams are not even a – they're not even – like, the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah.
That's not even a thing.
Believe me, that's like, what we thought in Baltimore when we were getting ready to play them. Like, they don't have their – they got a guy who's never played. Playing like the Barnstormers in Iowa in the
Arena Football League.
Yeah. Like, this is – no.
How's he going to beat Ray Lewis and company?
Not going to happen in a million years.
That's wild. I love those stories. So that's why we – Torrey
Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Now, that's – those are guys – those are names you don't
Marshall Faulk. Those are some pretty darn good players. Really good players.
We'll call those guys supporting cast. Mm. Marshall Faulk, supporting cast. One of the greatest out of the backfield.
I would take he would be my first choice of every single back in my ear.
Really?
Absolutely. He was amazing.
That shocks – I mean, it doesn't shock me totally, but I'm – but
Emmitt Smith would be number two.
Huh. And you – is it because you had to hang out in the – maybe if you hung out in the huddle with those guys, you wouldn't – because
it's their talent, their skill set was
look at you looking look at you. The grass is always greener. Barry Sanders wasn't that great of a running back when I was a quarterback.
He was an amazing runner.
He was amazing. Okay,
he wouldn't have been my first choice.
That's interesting. I love those kinds of tidbits that we get.
Sorry,
no. I like the tidbits because who on earth would have thought that you had Barry Sanders you were handing off to and you said yeah, but. He came with his foibles, too, that made it harder on us.
Yeah.
A lot of third and 11s you had to live with. Scott Rudy Gobert, as we had the music coming back from the break, he and the Jazz split games over the weekend. I think that double-digit, like, you know, that blowout of Denver at Denver, and it's not like Nikola Jokic wasn't playing in that game. Jeremiah Jensen made reference to it, but it's just like the Jazz have had the Nuggets number this year for some reason. And part of it is when Rudy came back and he's healthy and he has that 18 points, 19 rebounds, and the Jazz are back on track. You know, that's my feeling on Saturday night. Or, I mean, on Sunday night, you're kind of going, this is it, man. They figured this thing out. And then to have to turn back around and go to L.A., what stinks for me is we come in and we look up on the TV screen and we're watching, you know, ESPN's up on the screen basically all day long here in our networks, in our studios. And I go... You know what? To have there be a full topic dedicated to the Lakers, you know, and just that big win over the Jazz over the weekend, I'm kind of going, what are we talking about here? What are we doing? The Lakers are no good, and yet they get – and that's what makes it so – that's what I hate so much about it, is that the Jazz have this first win, and you start to feel like, okay, now they're going to start getting back on track. It was the second game of a back-to-back. I get it. And I'm not going to totally melt down. But this week is going to be tough. We talked about how this next week and a half of the Jazz season is going to be very indicative. It might end up being this stretch of games might determine how aggressive Danny Ainge and that front office are going to get, because if they really struggle over these next five games, it's going to be coitons for some of these people who aren't getting the job done.
Here's what annoys me about the NBA to start with is this whole schedule thing. Oh, you know, we have to have load management. We have to have back-to-backs, and we have to, you know, it's a scheduled loss. Like I hear this term, scheduled loss, and it's just annoying to me. Like why schedule, and you know there are going to be losses, and you know that players are going to sit out, and you know that players are going to be tired. Why does it have to be scheduled this way? I would love to hear an answer as to why, and you want to protect these players, you want to protect their careers. You know, I've heard David Locke's argument about, you know, these guys having longevity and being in the league longer, and then change.
Couldn't you accomplish that by making it, you know, even just making it an 80-game season? 82 always sounds arbitrary to me. It's just like baseball with their 162 games. I always am like, okay, what?
What was wrong with 72 games last year? Did we get bad
at
basketball?
They look at it and they go, you got 30 teams and you got 10 more games that you're able to squeeze out of this, and that's extra dollars for TV. That's the only part of the equation they look at. And so But then at the same time,
I mean, Jeremiah goes, I'd rather have quantity over, you know, or quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And so that part of it I don't understand. Okay. And it's because you go like they go back to back Denver and L.A. and you know that you're not going to get a great performance from the Jazz. So how why should you even care about that game? It's like, whatever. I'm just gonna you know, forget it.
I'm gonna bring up something else that Rudy said, and it was about and maybe it was the short term, just about where they're at in terms of their winning habits that they have established over the last few weeks.
When I watch some of these other teams, like the Suns, you know, the Warriors, for example, those guys, I think, are a step ahead of us in terms of winning habits. I feel like they take every game personally, and Devin Booker is playing his ass off defensively. I've been watching, you know, guys like that, you know, they buy in, and you can tell that they take pride playing defense, stopping the man, doing whatever they can defensively, be part of a winning culture. And I just think we're not there yet. I think we're going to get there, you know, but I think, you know, those stretches going to where it really stinks and it hurts, you know, I think going to help us realize that and try to build those habits if we want to be a championship team.
This was my other concern, or not concern, but it's like, I'm really glad Rudy Gobert has actually said this. Because it's like, I hear, well, you know, well, we had back-to-back, we've had COVID, we've had, you just hear all these excuses. Well, we know we got to play better perimeter defense. We know we got to play better when Rudy's not in the game. And it's like, we know, this is what we have to do. We know what we have to do. And you go, well, why don't you do it then?
Right.
I mean, there just comes a point when you just go, you know, the ownership here said, we like our guys, we're doubling down. We're not making wholesale changes. We're gonna make some adjustments so that when Rudy's off the court, you know, we still have defense with Hassan Whiteside. We're gonna try to get better perimeter defenders, which they feel like maybe they have in Rudy Gay and some of those changes. You know, maybe Eric Pascal. I don't know, but the Jazz have stayed put, and they're saying, all right, we're gonna be patient with this team. We believe in this team, but there comes a point when you just go, okay, well then make it show up. And I just get tired of hearing, well, we know what we got to do. We know what we got to do. Well, then just go out and do it. I mean, you guys are a veteran team. You've proven that you had the best record in the NBA in the regular season a year ago. Well, you know, yeah, start establishing or change something. Get it going right now. With these habits of winning, because I totally agree with
it. Well, you know what you could
like,
have said last year?
It doesn't seem to be bothering the Suns. It doesn't seem to be bothering the Warriors.
You know what we couldn't say about this team last year? At this time, you wouldn't go, yeah, but the Jazz don't have those winning habits. Like, they were the number one seed in the West.
Right.
At this point, they were pretty close to, I mean, they were crushing everybody, it seemed like. And, you know, their net rating was huge, and they were winning all these games. Now, I get it. I think that when we look at it, by the end of the year, you're going to look at this stretch as being kind of some dark times because it was pre the trade deadline. At least after the trade deadline, we'll be able to go, we're not talking about the trade deadline anymore. You know, that at least there will be that. And then there was also the time where every other day you had a couple of new guys on the health and safety protocol list. And everybody in the league has done it, but for the Jazz, they did it the latest. Right. And so it's the most disturbing for us to see right now the Jazz going through this, because we're pretty short-sighted as fans of sports. Right. We go, why aren't you winning right now? But the part that scares me is that these pros who are in the locker room day in and day out, they've been very critical of each other. We're not a very good team defensively when Rudy's not in there. We can't figure this thing out, man. We've got to get going. We've got to absolutely go at this thing, and we're not very good. We're not having these winning habits. So when you hear the absolute core of the team get critical of this locker room and of the way this team is playing, that's pretty glaringly difficult, you know, as a fan to watch.
Here's my experience. You give people enough time, let them go out, figure it out, see if they can do it. And after a certain period of time, when they're not doing it, that just tells me they can't do it. And so all you hear about is our defense is not very good. Our defense let us down. Our defense let us down. That's what you've heard all along. And it's the perimeter defense when Rudy Gobert is not in the game. And the reality is this team's had enough time to figure that out. And they haven't figured it out. And so something's got to change. Something has to change because you can't expect it to be any different than it is now at this point, I believe.
All right, here's what we're going to do. A couple things. I'm going to should we do the tickets right now? Should we do tickets right now? Might as well. Hey, caller number 12 right now to 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And you can win a pair of tickets to the Jazz and the Houston Rockets on Wednesday night. 855-340-ZONE. We've got a pair of tickets to give away right now, so let's do it. Let's jump in and get that thing done, and let's call our number 12 to 855-340-ZONE. You can win yourself a pair of tickets right now to the Jazz and Rockets. That's tomorrow night right here at Vivint Smart Home Arena.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, it's a new year. Time for a new you. Davis Vision can help ditch those glasses, contacts. Throw them away, guys. Get that LASIK scheduled today. A free consultation. Save $1,000. If you call Robin today, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Robin's going to hook you up on that schedule, and you get the free consultation. And if you qualify, $1,000 off of that LASIK procedure. DavisVisionMD.com is the website. It's Davis Vision. Tell them The Zone sent you. Scott, I had a thought before I came back from the break. What was your driver's ed experience like? Now, you're considerably older than I am, but
my driver's ed experience?
Yes.
Like when I was learning to drive?
Yes. Not just learning to drive, driver's ed. Who taught you driver's ed?
So, first of all, I went to school as a sophomore driving. I was 15 years old.
Cuz like the farm permit or whatever.
A manual. Like a stick, right?
Yeah. I took my driver's test as a stick shift.
My mom just said, just if you see the cops, wave at them. Don't let anyone in your car. And so I could drive to and from school, and I couldn't have anyone in the car with me. I had no license.
Okay, that's not driver's ed. That's just you thwarting the law. What's up?
Right. But
did you have driver's ed at some point?
Well, yeah. So my high school basketball coach.
Okay, got it. That's all I wanted to
Elliot
get.
Elliot Jordan.
That's all I wanted to get. Okay.
Well, no, it's funny.
High school basketball coach.
Yeah, high school basketball coach. And he goes, look, I know you guys know how to drive. So we have to drive around for 3 hours. So Wake me up after 3 hours. I'll teach you how to park parallel park.
Yes.
And we'll go to 7-Eleven and get 3 hot dogs for $1. Because his wife worked there. So every Saturday. And he goes, switch off at an hour and a half.
I don't think your deal.
It was me and my buddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that your driver's ed situation, and I bet 90% of the listenership of this station was almost exactly that. Scott, football coach, right? That was my, and he's like, and I'm on the football team,
right?
And he's going, Keery, wink.
Yeah.
Tell you what, you drive the first hour. I'm going to be back here taking a nice, I'm going to get my 40 winks in.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And we did. We were driving long distances too. Yeah. And you know what? Did we fail driver's ed? No way.
No.
But we had to take this test, and so fine. Here's the other thing. I think it's amazing. We have entrusted these sports coaches at the various high schools. You and I grew up in very different areas.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Thing. Everybody had the same experience. Yeah. Their doofus coach of whatever sport that they had. God bless the coaches out there. They're not all doofuses. Yeah.
I love my basketball
but
coach.
Think of I loved my football coach. But you know what?
He's the great grandfather of my soon to be son in law.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well I guess he's his grandpa.
But think about it. Because the way we set it up is now that you think about it too, those guys
it's what in the world caused you to think about this?
Because I was
this.
Thinking about that because my other son is having the maturation talk.
Oh,
okay, this week.
Yeah.
You know who did the maturation talk with me? Also one of my doofy high school coach or middle school coaches. And it was like, I think the lowest common denominator here, there are, and it was Coach Day, and he was like, look, you'll figure it out. Telling a bunch of 12-year-olds, you guys will figure it out.
Did you?
Not yet. But I'm just telling you, like, the idea that those are very important topics to learn about. driving and the maturation program.
My daughter.
And your coach is teaching them and they barely want to be there. We better turn it over to the coaches. And I know you're listening right now and you go, I had it. Listen, I teach that and it's something that's very important to me. Yeah, except for but
it's you get paid for it.
Listen, Coach Benefield, who taught all of my siblings driver's ed, was the offensive line coach at the high school, and he was like, I mean, there's no way that you're going to get the best you're going to get the best breakdown on how to drive from Coach Benefield.
There's actually a program that you can go online. The state offers it, and it tells a parent how to teach their kid how to drive.
I mean, ultimately, that's what needs to happen.
It really does.
I logged hours with my dad, and he was the best teacher at it, right?
My daughter goes, Dad, they don't teach you how to drive here.
No.
They don't teach you how to drive.
No. Well, and on top of it, but again, that's the thing. And your teachers don't necessarily teach you the maturation program. Parents, if you're there, they are the ones who have to really dig in and teach it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is we missed
what,
– we were on vacation.
What is actually maturation?
See, Scott, one
– I don't know that I ever got taught it. All I know is that we were in a room –
Scott, you got maturation coming out of the top of your shirt right there with those hairs. It's like, boom!
We were in the room, and they had the boys and the girls.
And they split you up?
The boys' program was short.
Oh, yeah.
And then we left, and then the girls, I don't know all of the things they talked about.
No, you don't need to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
That's not for you.
I don't want to know.
I'm telling you, why do we turn it over to, I hadn't run this past you before, did I?
No.
But I could have just said, Scott, you probably learned it. Jeremy, did a coach teach you? Yes. See? Yeah. Everybody driving around, and then you think about it now, and it's insane. And now you wonder why you're yelling at people when you're driving.
Of course, because that's what the coaches did.
Move it! If you could have a whistle in your car, you'd do it. You don't know why. It's like a Spidey sense.
We're going to be doing up-downs until you're 25.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You know when you pull up next to somebody and you look at him, what are you going to look at him for?
Hustle out of that left lane. Pick him up. Put him down.
We trust.
Nobody's blocking out here on the freeway. Nobody's blocking on the freeway.
Our children's driving and sexual maturity talks to the coaches at our local junior highs and high schools. God bless them. Guess what? They get extra dollars for it. That's the whole deal,
yeah.
Right? If you paid them a wage, we could probably get they wouldn't be forced into going, I got to do driver's ed. I got to go do the range this weekend.
All right, you want to hear how bad it really is? So one of my coaches in high school,
yeah,
he was getting credited to teach driver's ed.
Yeah.
And it's an online course. I was his TA.
Wait, you had online back when you were that age?
It was like a correspondence course.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I did it.
Oh, you did it for him?
I did it for
you
him.
You certified him.
I certified him to be the
so
driver.
You know what? You might be the best driver I know then.
That's how bad it was.
See? Everyone has this story.
Yep.
Everybody has this story. I just don't know what's going on. It's because on the way here, I got a speeding ticket, and it made me think about it. Okay?
Well, you drive one of those cars where, like, you just get in it, and you can't.
It's called a Lamborghini. Say it out loud.
You cannot drive slow in your car.
I know.
What you took your driver's ed test?
I did the stick shift on my driver's ed test, and I'm proud of it. And I want my kids to learn how to drive the stick.
Why? They're not even available. They don't even make them.
Yes, they are, and I look for them. I still go to KSL.com and look for those cars that are. I'm like, yes, my kids are going to learn how to drive the stick. It's a skill, Scott.
I can do it.
But it'll also get the phone out of their hand.
Oh. And if the car doesn't start, you can actually start by popping the clutch.
Did you ever do the thing where
you ever do that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did you ever drive when you're eating and you're driving the stick? So you're driving with your knee, shifting with the opposite hand, and eating a sandwich with the other one. So again, a coach taught me how to drive. That's all I'm saying. That's how he drove. All right. We'll take the break here.
That way you got the ticket? Eating and driving at the same time?
No. All right. We'll come back. I got to talk about these divisions in the Big 12. Because as it sits right now, first of all, you're going to see some insane divisions. It's not going to be an East-West situation. We'll kind of roll out the way it's projected that BYU would be in that Big 12 going forward with those divisions. Stay right here with us. It's Unrivaled right here, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. I've got multiple people who've reached out and said that they drive stick shifts, all right?
It's a skill, Scott. I had multiple cars in my lifetime that were stick shifts. Yeah.
I mean, now, you know.
They did.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, my wife and I both grew up driving stick shifts, and, you know, now it doesn't make a lot of sense.
See, an automatic to me didn't feel like driving when I was younger.
It felt like you're cheating.
It's like, really?
Yes.
It felt like this is a car my parents would drive.
See? A lot of folks. And people are like, hey, I drive a Jeep Wrangler. Hey, I drive this. There's certain types of cars you're like, that feels like it should be more of a stick than any other car. A Jeep, for sure, you're like, this thing's an automatic? What's going on here?
Yeah. An automatic Jeep?
Sounds like it's I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd probably drive it still, but all right. Driving a stick. I know it doesn't make sense to teach your kids that, but you should do it anyway. Also, maturation program, okay?
Don't teach your kids maturation?
Yeah, don't make any jokes about that.
I'm not going to say anything.
Scott, over the weekend, a couple things happened. Not the least of which were these CBS projections on where the Big 12 would shake out if they were to go to the division model, which is the direction they're leaning. Now, if you're thinking like an East-West version, not so fast, because they're apparently, according to this, there's a North and South division line that looks like this. Let me read off these names for you. The North Division would go like this, and obviously because BYU, I think, is the most northerly. Is it the most northern? It feels like it would be, but who knows? I can't see on the map the latitude and longitude, all right? Here we go. So BYU, Cincinnati, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma's name is in there because in the next couple of years, if they don't dive out of to get to the SEC early, which it's looking like they and Texas might actually stay the full length of that contract through 2025. If they do, then you're talking about an insane setup there. On the basketball side of things, Scott, with BYU, Cincinnati, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, that's tough. And then you'd have to add some football games, obviously, to get to a 9-game conference schedule, which is what they've been playing. So you're adding teams from the South Division, which would be Baylor, Houston, TCU, Texas, Texas Tech, UCF, and West Virginia. I'm just like, if you're a fan of
–
you're hearing that and going, to hear that this would be your schedule going forward, thank heavens. In 2022, it can't be done soon enough because you want to get to this life where you are set up in a real conference and – every year looking like, you know, that Oklahoma State, at least for the interim, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Texas, you're trading off potentially going to their place and then them coming to your place. See, I just love that idea. It feels so good if you're a BYU fan to know that this is what they're going to be facing up against the next, to go into that division, into the Big 12 going forward.
Well, it's certainly an interesting division from a lot of perspectives. Like this scenario says, all the Texas schools are in the South, which is, you know, I think some of these schools might want to that aren't in the South because Texas is such a great recruiting field that they'd want to maybe have some of those Texas schools. Maybe they split it up. So there's a discussion about whether they should do that. There's also a discussion about, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. I don't remember.
It's because I dropped my phone on the computer over here.
I guess my thought was, you're Texas. Do you really want to go to like UCF? I mean, I don't see how.
What's wrong with going to? Why does that sound bad? As if Texas has any freaking ground to stand on when it comes to like them being some classy program versus UCF, who's actually put together way better football than Texas has over the last 5 years.
Yeah, but
over the last 10.
But it's Texas. Texas has a long tradition I just can't. I can't see.
Yeah, they used to be hot. It's like that lady who goes, "I still look good, don't I?" And then takes a drag off of one of those long, weird cigarettes.
No. Texas is not that.
Come on, Cruella DeVille.
Come on, that is not.
Texas is not. No. Texas
By the way,
is Cruella nothing
DeVille,
right now.
If you saw her backstory, there's a lot to it.
I'm going to say her backside.
Don't be knocking on.
Get out of here.
On the backstory of Cruella DeVille. But if you're Texas, you're Oklahoma. You're going to go, because what's going to happen? They're going to go to the SEC, and they're going to get a lesser share, just like BYU when they first go into the conference.
Yeah, you don't get as much.
So if you're Texas and Oklahoma, why for the next couple of years, like, take a hit? Why not get as much as you can from the Big 12 and then go and kind of, you know, take your lumps later on? It just seems like you'd be better ahead if you actually stayed and got more money. So it's an interesting breakdown.
I don't think it could be much different. I think there could be a couple of, you know, differences. Maybe you end up. I mean, it makes sense to have UCF and West Virginia wherever they end up. They need to be in the same division. Those two need to be in the same division. But just think about how insane that looks now to have the conference breakdown like that. That BYU would be with Cincinnati, Iowa State, Kansas State. Now, obviously, the big, the whipping boy of the football side of things has been Kansas, and Kansas State hasn't been great in the last few years, although they had a pretty decent year this year. But Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Cincinnati and Iowa State and BYU, that is some tough dang football right there.
But here's the challenge for BYU. Every road game is going to be – It's a serious road game, and that wears on you. I mean, you're
listen, if you're going to Norman 1 week and then 2 weeks later you head to Manhattan and play Kansas State, like that is it's tough.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to San Diego State, or it's not like you're going to
or you go Cincinnati and then you go Cincinnati and Kansas. You
every
know,
game's
like
every in the Midwest.
Weeks. Yes. So
every away game
they
is
have
in the Midwest.
But see, they've this is also.
But that's the best place. I mean, because otherwise you're going all the way down to Texas, or you know, you certainly don't.
Which
they've
done. BYU's gotten so used to making these trips now. But the hardest ones that they've taken are Coastal Carolina. You know, you think about these long trips that they've taken. That trip down to Shreveport for the I'm not that interested bowl, like that was so hard.
But if you're BYU and every conference game is a long travel, there's no short road conference games, that could be a disadvantage. That's all.
Don't care. All worth being in a real conference.
Okay.
All worth it.
Utah's sports leader. This is KZNS AM Salt Lake City. KZNS FM Colvin. 97.5 1280 The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell is the voice just mentioned. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. And coming up a little later this hour, we'll have the NFL Roundup, where we'll be able to break down a little bit of what happened in the NFL.
I had an interesting conversation last night.
Playoffs. Yeah, who were you talking to?
So I was talking to, I'm not going to say his name on the phone, but I was talking to, he's actually, he's a Hall of Fame voter. So
oh, okay.
He has a vote for the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And they're having their final discussions and votes, like, today. And there was a player that I played against that he wanted to have a conversation about.
I cannot
and it was
wait.
It was fascinating to actually have that conversation with him. And we talked about a lot of other players and talked through.
Interesting.
So Leroy Butler was actually the player. So he's one of the nominees this year. And it was just a fun, fascinating conversation about. We
must
actually should have him on our show. We will.
We'll get him on our show
and talk about.
Well, I
want to
see what your
process.
Thoughts were in our NFL roundup about Leroy Butler, because you played against him for all those years, obviously, because he's one of the Green Bay Packer greats. And so I love that idea of being like that, especially if you played against the guy and they were really good. It'd be hard not to have a little bit of a, you know, hey, you should put that guy in the Hall of Fame, man. All right. Speaking of Hall of Fame, speaking of guys who know a lot about former players and current players, that music in the background, of course, means that we're speaking with one person only, our Jazz Insider. He is Gordy Chiesa, the coach on the program here with us today. Coach, what's going on, man?
Ellis, I'm doing well. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Coach.
Coach,
I got a question for you.
Sure.
So Rudy Gobert, he kind of calls out his team, says that they don't necessarily have that championship mindset. Well, what's your take on that? How do you feel about players kind of publicly, chastising? I don't know that chastising is the right word, but just saying, you know, we've got to be better. We've got to have a better attitude. What's your thought on that?
I'm against it, Scott. I'm more doing it behind closed door in the locker room on the court. So I'm against it publicly when they say that, when they call out their teammates. If someone's going to call out somebody, it better be in the locker room and also the ability to back it up. So it's not one thing, it's everything, Scott, you know, where in Jazz basketball they're frustrated because the common theme defensively, lack of, fill the blanks in, would be ball containment and also matching up in transition. And so Rudy's strong point is defense, but he hasn't talked about himself offensively where, you know, once you call somebody out, you better back it up yourself on both sides of the ball. And that's troubling. So from a coaching standpoint, I'm absolutely strongly against it.
Interesting, because I think the last couple of weeks we've had Donovan Mitchell who said something about it, and then we have Rudy Gobert over the weekend say something. And so I think a lot of folks go, well, that's what you expect out of your leadership. But then there's the public part where I think a lot of guys might go, hey, man, we get it. You know, like you don't need to tell the media that we're not playing as good a defense as we should be. And so there's that part where they expect their leaders to kind of call out the team, just not necessarily in this fashion.
Very much. Also, the leader is the floor leaders are the players and captains. But the head coach is the person that is front and center as far as getting these guys to show leadership. But it's leadership during a game. So if you call somebody out during the game where you're encouraged, I call it E&E. Every athlete that wins, he's an encourager and an enforcer. An encourager of team play and enthusiasm, but an enforcer of what? Discipline on the court. Hey, by the way, will you swing the ball? By the way, you box out rebound. Oh, by the way, can you help the helper as far as defensively? And that's what you enforce the team rules as far as schematically. Now, sometimes it gets lost in a translation. Oh, by the way, often players have amnesia.
You saw a lot of amnesia in your time, Coach.
Oh, absolutely. I am the king of amnesia. That's why coaches get, Scott, you know so well, they have the game plan. It's really cut and dry. The coaching staff, position coaches, the coordinators went over it literally 4,000 times. Everyone's nodding their head, and suddenly, on the very, very first two, three possessions, it's absolutely what the direct opposite of the coaches said. And that's why lack of preparation or when the games go on, some players really are forgetful of really what they're taught because they almost like a brain freeze during the course of a game.
See, for me, when I coached high school football, and I had this amnesia thing happen with players, and it was described to me that the male brain actually doesn't fully develop until you're like 25. So when I just scratch my head and go, these players forgot everything we taught them, everything that's in the game plan, and I just would say, well, their brains just haven't fully developed. And it became kind of the running joke, but it kept me sane. So I don't know. Maybe these NBA players, maybe their brains aren't fully developed yet.
Maybe they are. Yeah, that's what it is.
But it'd drive me nuts as a coach, you know, when the players just consistently don't do what you're saying.
Well, in coaching, what you want to do is have literally you built in your own mentality. There'll be errors. There'll be errors made. So you have to prepare yourself mentally what could be an error, and then you counterpunch that strongly the next possession or two as far as schematically. So try to either cover up the error or deal with it, and more importantly, move forward. So, again, when you're really a good player, you want to play forward, not backwards. And that's why it's so important in Jazz basketball that the players play forward. But it does start with what? Effort. It ignites when players really understand what is the task on the certain play. When teams usually win and players overachieve, their assignment sound. that they know what their assignment is on every situation, and they try to execute it to the best of their ability. Now, sometimes they're a second late, or there's a size mismatch where, say, Mike Conley rotates underneath and tries to put a body on LeBron James as far as a blockout rebound. Well, that's great intentions, but most times LeBron's going to win that battle as far as strength on strength. So those are the things you have to factor in when you try to schematically do things.
So at the beginning of the year, you mentioned we need about 20 games to kind of get an idea of who this Jazz basketball team's going to be. And then and I know, and I know you know this, where you put a team on the floor, you have talent, you're trying to develop that talent, create that chemistry. But there comes a point when you just go, this guy just doesn't have it. Or, these guys just can't do it. How do you balance that? When do you come to that determination of, you know, this guy just doesn't have it, or we need to give him a little bit more time to kind of get you know, kind of develop into where he is?
It's right now. In other words, in Jazz basketball, they played 38 games. The record is 29-15. I'm sorry, 44 games they played with 38 games left. So it's right now, literally in the January, and the trading deadline's February 10th. So there's that sweet spot in the NBA calendar where you know what you have to do, because now you've already played most of the better teams. Now, it's interesting, Alex and Scott, in Jazz basketball, is that the Jazz have really an unbelievable week, incredible as far as intensity. So people say to me on the street today, Scott, they said, oh, by the way, Gordy, the Jazz were tired last night. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. But I said to him right away, is that the good part about it is that the Jazz get a do-over this weekend where they play the Warriors and Suns on a back-to-back night. Now, I know it's the exact same time zone, so you're not changing one time zone. They're both in Pacific as far as games. But the learning point about that is that there's no excuses, is that what you've got to do is compete. And if you need that rest that on a back-to-back game, whatever you got to do, you got to rest your feet, rest your mind, be ready mentally to play and physically engage against a superior team. So it's right now, as far as the players, you know what they can do and what they can't do, and now you're going to adjust accordingly.
Coach Gordy Chiesa joining us here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Coach, with the last 2 weeks has been insane, because it's just you haven't been able to put a team on the floor if you're the coaching staff. And frankly, half the coaching staff has had to sit out a couple of days as well. So everything has just been out of sync. And so how much of the last couple of weeks do we need to take and go and freak out about if you're a Jazz fan, versus the part where you go, okay, the team hasn't been 100%. And so now you kind of start looking forward and have to get them back to full strength now. Do you throw away some of those, or do you look at it and go, no, the team is what it is?
One-third, because of the COVID protocol, et cetera, that affected the team. Two-thirds, it's on the team. So one-third, yes, the circumstantial. Two-thirds is now, hey, we're late rotating on defense. We have an unbelievable difficult time of all the guys on perimeter in ball containment. Again, the ability to guard in any sport, the ability to guard the ball and the ability to protect the ball if you're on offensively is absolutely paramount. So it's two-thirds now on the players. And the smart players and the ones that really truly want to win, they're going to really emphasize it in their own mind. So, example, Rockets tomorrow night. They're a free-willing team. They're first in the NBA, Alex, in pace. So they play fast. Now, they don't play well. I didn't say that, but they play fast. So God forbid in the Jazz tomorrow night where they don't go back in transition, because they're, I call it buddy running. They're running with their newborn buddy on the other team versus sprinting back and building a wall. So these are all things that in the winning teams and in Jazz best particular, these are things that they have to try to improve on and do it right away.
All right, Coach. It's time. It's time for that list again. What do you got for us today?
This list today is the most double-double games this 21-22 season. Yeah, because tomorrow night is going to be an interesting game where there's going to be, Scott, two guys on this list, and this is an underrated list. What's a double-double? In case of fans right now driving on I-15, a double-double game is recorded when a player registers 10 or more in two of the five categories in a contest. They are one. Points, two, assist, three, rebounds, four, steals, and five, blocks. Prior to 1973-74, the NBA did not officially record steals and blocks. So, Scott, Alex, we never know how many official block shots that Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell and all those guys had. We don't know, ever. So I laugh when they say that Hakeem Olajuwon is number one in block shots, and Rudy's going to be number one someday also. But in fairness to everyone else yesteryear, we're not sure. Here we go. There's only 12 names on it. And before I give the names quickly, is that, do you realize this, Alex? Out of these 12 guys in the top 10, because there's a tie, there's seven foreign players.
Okay.
Seven out of the 12 guys were born in foreign countries. And that, I'll go later on about that as far as the reason why.
Well, they're better coached. You know, they're well-rounded. Over there, they teach them, you know.
Oh, very much. That's an understatement. Silly. Here we go. Number nine with four guys listed. Julius Randle has 20 double-doubles. Nick Vucevic has 20 double-doubles. Christian Wood, Detroit Pistons, who's playing tomorrow night, he'll be guarding Rudy, has 20 double-doubles. And Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks has 20 double-doubles. Eighth place, Clint Capella from Switzerland has 22 double-doubles. Number seven, Giannis Antetokounmpo, we know from Greece, has 23 double-doubles. Number six, we like this guy, Alex, from the Cleveland Cavaliers, young fella, Jared Allen, has 24 double-doubles. Number five, the only southpaw lefty on this list from the Brooklyn Nets, James Harden, has 25 double-doubles. Number four, from Lithuania, Jonas Valančiūnas, who's a very good player, has 30 double-doubles. Number three, also from Lithuania, Domantas Sabonis has 31 double-doubles. Now, number two, these guys are both terrific players from Serbia. Everybody likes this guy, including every Jazz fan. He knows the competition. Nikolai Jokic has 32 double-double games. And number one, our own Jazz player from France, Rudy Gobert, leads the NBA in most double-double games with 33.
I knew it.
Wow.
I knew it.
33.
That's
so it tells us that you have an all-around game and that you have a special high skill level at a position, whether you rebound or you score or you pass or you block shots. And these guys are elite players. And it's interesting, Scott, that these guys are seven of them from foreign countries. And that just shows you that in America, oh, by the way, we're lacking, generally speaking, just in general terms, about big guys being highly skilled.
It's those Baltic states, you know, up there,
yes.
The Lithuanias, and, you know, they're producing a lot of really good double-double guys here in the NBA.
Yeah, and Lithuania,
I've said it for years.
Lithuania right now is one of the best countries in the world besides USA. It's only 4 million people, but it's basketball crazed. And that they teach those kids in the Baltic states of how important it is. But last point is this. Back in 1992, people, that was the original Dream Team with Carlin John and those guys, they averaged 46 points as far as USA victory in Barcelona. But people tell me, Scott, that the most intense game in the history of Olympic basketball was 1992 when Mother Russia played Lithuania, because Lithuania just left Russia democratically, so now they're on their own. It was an overtime game. Every person in both two countries watched that game, and they celebrated or were sad when Lithuania beat them, Russia, in 1992 for the bronze medal. It was a celebration.
Coach, as always, we're blown away, and you've made our list for today. So, number one, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Peace out.
We'll talk to you again. There you go. There's the coach. Love talking to Gordy. Do you think his players ever walked away from a practice and went, I don't know, Coach Chiesa lacks passion. I don't know if I believe what he's teaching. Yeah, right. Everybody walks away from a conversation with Gordy Chiesa and goes, that guy's got the zest for life right there. All right. We're going to take a break here. Before we do, though, I want to jump out. Hey.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Oh, Scott Mitchell had the best line of the day off here. You know, we're just having this discussion about
life,
you know,
and people.
Choosing,
and...
Well, just like choosing to be offended, you know, that was one thing. Yeah. And Scott gave just a really, you know, he's like, if that's the reason you're going to get offended, that's stupid. Because you know what? I said, look, we've all met a bunch of jerks. And Scott goes, I know. I've been one. That is tremendous insight because you know what? I think that we all just tend to think about other people, how they affect us, instead of us being the ones who might affect other people. So there you go. Yeah. We've been the jerks. We've been people have been jerks to us. Look, get over it, man. Life's too short to get worried about this. If you pointed the TV, what are you going to say?
There was a thing that said Donovan Mitchell has entered the concussion protocol.
Concussion protocol?
Yeah.
We'll have to look into it here.
Yeah. That was on ESPN.
Then there goes Jeremy's feverishly clickety-clacking.
Yeah.
Not health and safety protocol. You say concussion protocol?
Concussion protocol.
We'll look into it here. In the meantime, Scott, the old two-minute drill, which, of course, is fired up with this special music here. And with that special music, I'll also say that the two-minute drill is brought to you by the Teton Wealth Group. Not the Wheaton Telth Group. It's the Teton Wealth Group. Is your retirement plan bulletproof? Investments, income, taxes, health care, estate planning are all crucial. Avoid expensive mistakes with complimentary retirement ascent plan from Teton Wealth Group. Go to retireteton.com/radio. That's retireteton.com/radio. Concussion symptoms from last night. Donovan Mitchell is in the league's
concussion. He's out Wednesday. Protocol. He's out for tomorrow's game.
Hey, you know what? Houston's in town. That's a game you can miss easily.
Yeah.
You know what?
No, don't take any of
I'm actually starting to feel lightheaded. Does that mean I can not have to watch the game?
Early on, you took a hit there.
I don't want to even watch this game. Scott, the two-minute drill goes like what? They're playing this music and...
Well, let me tell you what it goes like. Late in the football game, we got to go on the field, kick field goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with the trophy, because everyone gets a trophy today. Two COVID shots, a booster shot, and a whole bunch of desserts. Hopefully, some desserts that include peanut butter bars.
Remember at the very beginning of the COVID... maybe they're still doing it.
At the COVID.
COVID. That sounds like something your aunt or uncle would say. You know, he had the COVID. He shops at Costco's. So I think Krispy Kreme did the free donut thing. Are they still doing that?
If you got vaccinated, you got
Are they still doing it?
Full year.
Well, listen, I got the card full.
I think we're getting close.
I got
close.
My bingo sheet full of vaccines now.
I think we're getting close to the end of that deal.
Yeah. Well, listen. I'm going to start rounding up my kids' vaccine cards and all the vaccine cards I know. We're going through the old drive-thru Krispy Kreme, man.
Nothing better than a hot Krispy Kreme donut.
Ooh. Scott, mascots are getting creative trolling Devin Booker because ever since he asked the what is that? The Raptor. It's the Raptor.
Yeah.
Little dinosaur guy up in the crowd.
I just love that.
I
love that.
Mascots don't need anything extra for you to motivate them to bother you.
No.
Gosh, we've just said, listen, the Jazz Bear is one of the best trolls of all time. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to do next time the Suns come into town. And the Suns have always had the gorilla, right?
Yeah. You know the best one of all time, though?
What?
San Diego Chicken.
The chicken...
Oh, my
goodness. Will annoy you.
San Diego Chicken.
I think that, some of them are cooked, you know. They're cooked up. The ones where the fan will be, like, wearing a Lakers jersey.
Right.
And they're sitting on the fourth row. And the Jazz Bear hits them with a cake, you know. And you kind of go, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But, man, I love that stuff. Anytime you can get a rise out of the old fans. So if we can do that with Devin Booker. Let's do it. Let's get under this man's skin.
Here.
Well, no, not just
that.
Jazz
have a brutal schedule.
That's what I'm saying. And it's not just like, hey, Devin Booker, the superstar for the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are two, three slots ahead of you in the West, man. You got to figure this thing out. Get the Jazz Bear going. Everybody needs to get out and troll Devin Booker. Next up, Scott. NBA refs have ripped Dak Prescott over telling him that it was okay to throw stuff at the – or for telling fans it was okay to throw stuff at the refs. Because when they found out, he thought it was so rude that the fans were throwing stuff onto the field that looked like at these players. And the reporter said, no, they were throwing stuff at the refs.
The referees.
And he said, oh, well, good for them.
Yeah.
Well, good for
them.
That's
probably something he will get fined over, I'm sure.
I hope he does. Yeah. And you know what? We've had a problem with that in this very building. This has been a garbage throwing crowd before. We need to get past those times.
Well, man. You know, I understand there are times when you get really frustrated with the officiating. And I mean, I think of the call, the non-pass interference call with the
Saints.
The Saints that was significantly, it cost them. And this game, the ref was doing the right thing. And it's just end of discussion. I mean, it shouldn't even be brought up. And they really should have looked, and in the future they should look at, we should call a better play in that situation. and it's like, okay, we thought we could, but look, something happened. It was legitimate, and we couldn't get a playoff. So you gotta look within yourself to say, how can we be better? How can we do something different in that situation that would have a better outcome? Because doing that wasn't
call a better play.
The smartest thing to do.
That's how Scott works. Just call a better play. We'll be fine.
Some people can call plays and some people can't. I'm just telling you. And especially when I say they can call plays, it's in those pressure situations that they have the right play called and dialed up.
That's the adult version
and
of
some
like
people
when
just
my,
can't do it.
It's the adult version of like when my kid just goes, just dunk it. Come on, Rudy. Just dunk it, man. Well, that's a little bit more complicated than that. Just calling
with
a better
Rudy?
Play.
No, it's not. That's yeah. all Rudy can do is dunk. That's all you want him to do.
You remember, Rudy hit that three-quarter court shot the other night, but it was right after the buzzer.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count
those
as his
kind of
first.
Those kind of things, it starts wrecking you for life.
That
though.
Wouldn't
you
be
start
as, that
shots,
wouldn't be
like,
as. Would you count that as his first career three-pointer?
If I
or do we need
I
a
would.
Real attempt?
No. Okay. It's
right. Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Wrapping the show up here on 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network. It is Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Final segment of the show. Scott, I wanted to sneak in this conversation. Over the weekend, I saw Jackson Dart posted some pictures. We talked about on Friday his final three teams that he was considering to transfer to out of the transfer portal. Oklahoma, that'd be kind of an interesting thing. That's a transfer trade right there, Scott.
Yeah.
If Caleb Williams ends up at USC, you've got yourself switching over.
Yeah.
We'll take Jackson Dart. We'll give you
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley and
Caleb
Williams for Jackson Dart. That if I'm Jackson Dart, that's the joke I use the rest of my life.
And a case of Built Bars.
BYU jumps in and goes, what can you give us?
Give you a little Built Bar there.
But that's if I'm Jackson Dart, I do that the rest of my life. I go, well, you know we made a trade, right? It was Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams for me to go to Oklahoma. TCU also in consideration.
No, they're not.
But the you stop.
You got to have negotiation power. Because
you never know. Half these teams, sometimes when these guys go to the transfer portal and a team offers them, I go, why on earth did they end up there? One of the teams is Ole Miss, and I thought that wouldn't be a team. But they showed him this weekend. He and Lane Kiffin, the head coach of Ole Miss. I mean, Lane Kiffin, you can say a lot of things about the guy, and we do. He's a weird dude, and he does things his own way. They took a picture with an Aston Martin supercar that they had obviously borrowed for over the weekend from the local Aston Martin dealership, and Jackson Dart tweeted out that they were looking like 007 this weekend, and Lane Kiffin looked like he was like one of the guys. He's wearing, I couldn't tell who the recruit was. They're both wearing hoodies and like trying to look all cool with the brim of their hat down, and I thought, man, Lane Kiffin does a lot of things, but he can totally talk to these guys, too.
Well, it's not only talk, but it's a place where, you know, a quarterback like Jackson Dart can thrive. I mean, this is an offensive-minded, quarterback-friendly environment. You're in the SEC, and they need a guy. You know, it's like that's why, you know, it's probably why BYU isn't an option. You know, they feel pretty good about what they have there. But it's also about, you know, the bling. The NIL is going to play into this, and these schools that can come up with this and actually make it happen, they're the ones that are, you know, they're going to reap some of the benefits of these players. I don't know what Jackson Dart's ceiling is, you know, but he's smart enough to go, where's a school, where's a program that fits me, and there's a real opportunity there, and I can make some money.
All part of that thing, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, a guy like Jackson Dart. I thought BYU'd be more in the mix, but it's, you know, these kids, they have their own thing in their head about where they want to, you know, probably end up. And Jackson Dart's one of those kids that he feels like the sky's the limits for him. His family.
If you're Jackson Dart, though, how do you go from playing at USC and just going, yeah, I'm going to go to
frankly,
BYU.
Anywhere. Frankly, anywhere. Like, even Oklahoma.
But he wants to go somewhere where he can play now. Because he's not a guy that's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go take a back seat somewhere.
Yeah, and Oklahoma might be that place. Ole Miss might be that place. All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Scott, did you have fun?
I did.
Let's do it again tomorrow. So for Scott, I'm Alex. We'll talk to you then. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Speaking of worth it, there's a deal going on right now. Any Hour Services. Mike Wilson's in studio. Did you learn? You learned the stick shift. You're one of those guys. Did you have the? Did you get the? Did you do the? And did you do? I mean, you grew up in the South too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Was your coach your driver's ed teacher? That was a lot of people's experience there.
I lived in such a small town. We did not have driver's ed. My experience was when I turned 16 or whatever. You go to the. To the police station, and there's a sheriff that comes down that doesn't even like live in that town
right.
normally. They come down once
and
a month
test you.
To do the test.
Wow.
And this is what the test consisted of. They get in the car with you. You back out of the parking spot. You drive around the square. You come back. You park.
Did pretty good, son.
Like, no parallel parking, nothing.
Oh, so that's the fun stuff.
It was like he was a coach for a day. It was like he was a football
Can
coach
you
for a day.
Turn the car on?
Yeah, that's good.
Can you
right. showed me enough there. That's good.
But I did grow up. I didn't have to take the driver's test with the stick shift, but I grew up, driving stick.
Yes,
stick,
so. Yes. It's a needed skill. It makes no sense. It's not actually needed, but yeah. I think my kids
When you grow up learning how to drive a stick shift, the hills always make you nervous at
yes.
first because you're like, wait, do I pull the clutch out and, like,
oh, yeah.
am I going to stall it?
You don't want to kill it. No.
I've got a question for you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Your vents in your house.
Uh-huh.
You have them floor and the ceiling.
Yep.
How do you mix your vents up so that you maximize the efficiency of your heating, your
can
air conditioning.
Can you even do that? That sounds foreign to me.
No, you can do that, right? Isn't there a way, like, how you should run your vents?
Well, here's the thing, and a common question that we get, because a common practice that's out there is people think, like, okay, if there's a room I'm not using, I'm going to close off the vents so that it forces the air into a different part of the house, right? They're trying to save money. They don't want to, like, waste money heating and cooling that part of the house. Here's the thing. Your system was designed to work with all of the vents open, with the return airs not blocked, and a clean air filter. Now, with that being said, I don't know anyone that doesn't go around closing vents.
Right. And there's always that one room in people's house where they go, this doesn't need to be this hot.
So here's, but there's a whole lot of like science behind it. You end up building up pressure if you shut off too many vents. And the thing that I was talking about earlier, where you have to move a certain amount of air through the system in order for it to transfer the heat or transfer the cold in the summertime, you run the risk of the thing overworking if you don't have the vents open. And so what I will always tell people, if you are going to go around and shut vents, don't shut off any more than 20% of the vents in the house. So go around and count up the vents, just the supply vents. Go around and count those up. Always keep the return vents unblocked.
Right.
But count up the supplies. If you've got 10, don't close any more than 2. If you've got 20, don't close any more than 4. And then pay attention to how your system is working. If it feels like it's struggling to keep the temperature where you want it, go back around and open those vents up and let the thing breathe, because that's going to do better for the system.
Can we call you for the math? If I count them up tonight, can I call you to do the math for me?
100%. I mean, you just carry the decimal
when you
point
said
over.
20, but, when he said 20, when he goes 20, I was like, okay, I know this.
Well,
oh, he said it.
If you... Most people in Utah can calculate 10%, just double it.
Hey, there you go.
10% of 20
now
is 2, double it.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm surprised your driver's ed teacher didn't teach you that one.
They didn't know. They didn't know about it. All right. So let's talk about these about what we're doing with these furnace tune-ups,
yeah.
because people are listening right now, and they're like me, or they're like a lot of us out there who may not have had the furnace tune-up, and this is a great time to get it, and there's a great price that we're going to be able to get it through you guys.
Absolutely.
As well.
And if you're one of those people that have forgotten to like get your tune-up and your furnace hasn't been serviced in a couple of years or any time yet this summer or this winter, that's okay. You're not the only one, and it's not too late. So tonight what we're doing for any Zone listener that wants to get this done, all you have to do is give us a call, get on the schedule, and we're going to lock you in an automatic $70 off, and we're going to tune up your furnace for only $29.
Wow.
And that price includes our no breakdown guarantee, which means that if the thing stops working after we service it, we're going to send somebody back out there for free, and we're going to give you back the money that you paid for the tune-up. So if you call next week and try and book one of these and you pay $99, we'll give you the $99 back. But if you call and you save the money tonight and the thing breaks down, we'll give you the $29 back.
Zone listeners, you heard it. $99 value. You've heard other companies saying, hey, $79, $69. Nope, $29 for the tune-up with Any Hour Services. Let me give you the website first. You can book it online, anyhourservices.com. Easy enough to find, anyhourservices.com. Or 801-443-7400. That's 801-443-7400. Lock in that deal right now. Instead of it being $99, do it for $29 for that furnace tune-up and the no-breakdown guarantee. 801-443-7400. Mike, thanks for hanging out, man.
You're welcome.
AnyHourServices.com. More to go right here. Stay with us. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.